When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Before the Jets even begin their search for a head coach, they've already, BT, screwed up big time. The fact that they kind of ignored Bill Belichick.
I got to tell you, this was weird. So I'm driving around on Saturday. I got the station on CMAC is doing a couple of hours, and I hear the stuff with Belichick, and, you know, multiple reputable reporters obviously dropped the story that Belichick reaches out to the Jets, and the Jets have no interest. Now, there's two discussions. The first discussion is, do you think the Jets should have hired Belichick? I'm of the mindset, probably not. I know you that you might disagree, yep, but I want to just create this thread here. The other thing, which I think can be universally agreed upon, is that Bill Belichick, along with Lombardi and Parcells, are three of the most fertile minds, if not the three most brilliant minds in the history of football. And to me, good organizations, this is what bothers me about the Jets. And really, I had to call in C-Mac. I went ballistic. For the Jets not to bring him in the building, even if you string him along, Sal, with no intention of hiring him to be your coach, you get him in the building, you sit him down, and you get his thoughts on Sauce, on Garrett Wilson for a big contract, on Rodgers, on the O-line. You just gather some intel from a brilliant, brilliant mind who's desperate to get back in the game. But what do the Jets do? The Jets are like, no, we're good. We're okay. So it just shows you that the forward-thinking, the good winning franchises, they would have done what I said. The Jets, on the other hand, they try to be spiteful and try to get him back for what happened probably 20-something years ago, slam the door in his face without benefiting themselves one bit. Idiotic.
You hate to hear this, but the Jets are just clueless and nothing's going to change until something actually changes.
No, I hear you. I hate to hear it, but I know it.
They're going
to
screw this up. The Jets should have been doing everything in their power going back years, whether it's Harbaugh or Belichick himself, everything in their power to get a guy like that to even consider them. The fact that he would go to them, and there's one reason why, and it plays into everything that I've been saying here about Rodgers and the Jets. You saw it yesterday why. This team is the worst coach team that maybe the sport has ever seen. They do have talent. Now, how talented on paper? Were certain guys disappointing? Sauce Gardner, we'll get to him. He's another clueless one. But whatever. Like, certain guys on the team maybe didn't live up to the expectations, but they had talent.
Yep.
They were a disaster from the word go because they had no direction, no coach. Salah was a dead man walking. He was overmatched. They should have made a change last year. So if we said that and then it played out that way, obviously we're proven to be correct. So in my mind, and by the way, I said this last week after watching that that show on Apple TV, The Dynasty or whatever, that Belichick is unhirable, except for the Jets, because that franchise needs Bill Belichick, and because of their circumstance with the quarterback in place, a proven quarterback in place, and with a roster that is not totally barren. This is not a rebuild. From a Giants perspective, to me, Belichick, unhirable. Other situations, unhirable. Jets situation, he's the greatest hire that they could have made. And he comes to them and they say no.
Well, again, I don't necessarily agree with you, but I certainly understand what you're saying enough to the point where I would have done more than they did. Hey, at least get to the point, Bill. You know, how open are you to working with another general manager? Listen, we all know that Belichick, from his perspective, is looking at the Jets and he's trying to prey on their desperation. So get a ton of money and get the hammer. Get, you know, personnel, everything that he wanted. I'm not saying that the Jets are should have acquiesced on that. As a matter of fact, I would not have, because I don't think that Bill Belichick has distinguished himself as a personnel
person. Would you
take
in Lombardi, Bill and Lombardi, just like it is in Carolina?
Listen, I would have been open to it. I'm not saying I would have been open to it, but what I'm saying is, like, for the Jets to not even have the conversation is really laughable. And listen, there's no guarantee they're going to get Mike Vrabel. Oh, yeah, by the way, how are the Denver Broncos looking? They're going to wind up winning 10 games or so. Right. Why? Because they brought in an established head coach who knows how to win. I want to be fair to the Jets.
By the way, took his own quarterback after having Russell Wilson forced on him, got rid of him,
was
able to identify him, and now was winning with a rookie quarterback.
That's a good point. I'm not trying to shove. I never was trying to shove Bill Belichick down the throats of the Jets. There's probably more, at this point, Sal, for me, there's probably more minuses than pluses. He's not young. He hasn't done a lot with Brady. He probably wants to have all the power. Those are things that probably myself, if I owned the Jets, would have dissuaded me from actually saying, all right, you're hired. But I tell what I'm doing. I'm having a conversation. I'm looking at film. Oh, you don't think Sauce is worth $100 million? I'm going to at least use his mind to advance my pathetic franchise.
Why, though, would you? Because you liked him more so for the Giants. I wouldn't have touched him if I'm the Giants, but why would you like Bill for the Giants and not the Jets when this is a ready-made thing? Like, basically, the hire would have been, hey, Bill, you take over. You do what you want for the next 2-3 years with Rodgers in place. See where it is. And then From there, go on, like, what's another 2 years? You already have a team in place with a quarterback. You're bringing in the greatest head coach of all time on a mission to prove everything, whether it's the NFL and get the all-time record, whether it's to, you know, inspire the people to show that he can still do it. Like, and it's only 2-3 years as opposed to another unknown, hire a first-time head coach, see if they can eventually draft a quarterback. Like, they're going to be a mess now. They're going to be a mess.
Well, I mean, not if they get somebody like Vrabel, and I still think, now, if it does work out well, it's almost, I mean, I hate to say this, but it's almost like if this works out for the Jets, it almost works out by accident.
Right.
Because their track record proves and has shown nothing to have any sort of confidence that they're going to go through the process properly and identify the right general manager and the right head coach. Like, and even if they do, will that person want them because the Jets are a mess and Woody's getting his fingerprints on something? I don't know. I never say never. Otherwise, what the hell are we doing here? Like, if there's no chance for the Jets to ever do anything without somebody like Belichick, then let's just, you know, pack up shop and call it a day and root for somebody else, which I'm not going to do. But I do think, just to answer you directly about why am I okay or was I okay with the Giants more so than the Jets, honestly, Sal, I think it's just the sentiment of the fact that I know that he reveres the Giants. I don't think it's more than that. Those worries would have followed him to the other side of MetLife as well. He's not young. And he hasn't won without Brady. And he probably wants all the juice. And I don't think he deserves it at this point because he hasn't done enough outside of being a great coach in terms of structuring rosters and that final say. So those would have been, for me, impediments for the Giants as well. But I would have leaned on his reverence for the team rather than what has always been a disdain for the other team in that stadium.
Right, and for me, it's only because of the current situation that the Jets are in. See, the Jets are going to screw this thing up multiple times over. Going to get Rodgers was a question in the first place. Now, let's just say that we still said we would have done that, and I would have, but they put themselves in a spot where they really had no choice. Rodgers was their best choice. Then he gets hurt. Now they have a decision to make. They chose to run it back. To me, that's mistake number two. Like, hey, mistake number one is putting yourself in a position where you have to rely on a 40-year-old quarterback. Mistake number two is after Rodgers goes down for that year, you got to see Robert Saleh. You knew he wasn't a good head coach. Get the established coach now. Now, they didn't. Then this season is a complete disaster. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, mistake number three is going to be, instead of bringing it back with Rodgers and this roster and a real competent established head coach, they're going to go in a different direction. Probably a younger head coach, because they're not going to have many great choices. Probably a different quarterback.
You really think they're going to hire somebody who's never coached a game in their life? I don't think they're doing that this time. I really don't.
Yeah, even if it is, it's not going to be...
Eberflus or somebody? That wouldn't stun me.
And by the way, like, if you hire a head coach with experience, that's fine. But if you're going to do that, why not hire Bill Belichick, who's the best head coach with experience?
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of this stuff is guaranteed. Look at Doug Peterson in Jacksonville. I love the hire. We wanted the Jets to maybe get him a Super Bowl head coach, whatever. The idea back then was the Jets to get the number one pick and maybe hire Doug Peterson. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that didn't work out. Point is, they need an experienced head coach. They have an experienced roster. They have a proven quarterback, even though he's still declining. You saw what he's capable of doing yesterday, and he's also motivated. I would have loved, at least for one, maybe 2 years, the tandem of Belichick and Rodgers. And the Jets actually could have made that happen. The reason why we didn't make a big deal of it is because I never thought ever in a million years Belichick would ever consider Woody Johnson and the Jets.
Yeah.
He apparently does, and they turn their nose.
And to not even get to the point about at least having the conversation, which is really my entire point here, have the conversation, figure out what the man's thinking. Does he even want, you know, Rodgers back? So they just missed it, they missed a window to really, I think, you know, add some information to their portfolio. And, you know, listen, you can never, having information is never going to set you up for a loss. Now, it doesn't guarantee success, but the more you know, the more potential you have to cash in and do something right. And they just said, nah, we're not interested. And you know why? Ego, lack of vision, lack of forward thinking. Too many things that have plagued the Jets since Woody, and really before Woody, but since Woody's been here.
BT and Sal and the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Chris is in Nanuet. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, boys? I got a quick little side note before I start. Sally boy. King Cohen came through. We got Soto, baby.
Yeah, we were getting hit on the weekend with that.
That's all I heard at the Coliseum. King Cohen this.
The guy dropped off pizza yesterday, Sal Soto.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm in my freaking Mickey Mouse pajamas. So you got to tell you Soto. Anyway, get to the Jets, please.
All right, let me talk to BT now because I feel for BT. Listen, Belichick, if we took him back, it would have been a disgrace. It would have been like taking back an ex-girlfriend who leaves you. Becomes this hot shot, and then she wants you back? No, you know, Bill Belichick's last stand with the Jets would have been to screw us over one more time. There's plenty more experienced head coaches.
Hold on, Chris. 1 second. But you might be, let's have a conversation. You might be right. And by the way, I never once said, nor will I ever, that they should have offered him the job. All I'm saying is have the conversation. You just said, there's a lot of other qualified, you know, veteran, experienced people to take. Name them.
Mike Vrabel.
Okay, that's what I love. Who else?
Well, you can also get a coordinator. You can get a guy.
Chris, hold on, bud. I'm not saying coordinators never work. There's a lot of evidence that they do. But in this situation,
coach experience.
No, they need a man. They need a leader.
Agreed.
A grown-up to run this ship.
They need Bill Belichick. I mean, he was the guy, Chris. So thanks for the call, buddy. Vrabel might end up being
okay. You know I love Vrabel. I've never wavered from that once.
But how could you think that he's better to turn this dumpster fire around than Bill Belichick?
Because he's younger and there's more energy. And by the way, I don't know for a fact that he would. I think that it seems like the right time to hire somebody with, you know, I don't want to overstate his success. It's not like he won Super Bowls in Tennessee, but the man was very successful. And he won without a star quarterback, which is appealing to me. And he's... You know, he's got discipline. He's a bit of a throwback, tough guy, which I like. I don't know. I just think that there's a fine line between offering him the job and not even having a conversation. Can we get somewhere to the middle of the road?
Eddie is in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Yeah, I agree with BT. You got to at least bring him in and pick his brain and see what a 3-year plan would be or something like that. But my main thing is, BT, I got one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, before Rodgers steps on the field, he says to you, because I heard him say it in the news, he wants to play 3 more years. He says, I want a 2-year extension, or I'm not playing this year. Trade me. What do?
I tell him to get lost is what I do. Rodgers, extension.
He's got no leverage now.
Extension.
Look, now that's the other thing I was going to ask you here. You want Rodgers with Vrabel?
If Vrabel wants Rodgers, yes. If Vrabel does not, then I'm prepared to let him make that decision.
And that's even more the point. Like, Rodgers wants to play, and I guarantee you Rodgers would have enjoyed, maybe enjoyed is a strong word, because I don't know if anybody enjoys Bill Belichick, I think Rodgers on his final season or two, on his last legs, playing for Belichick, who believes in him clearly. You know, we've talked about this. Belichick said it. You know how I felt about Rodgers. I wanted the Jets to run it back with him, and that's in the minority.
Talk about this season. So did I.
Next year. I'm talking about going to next year.
Yeah, you were saying that.
Four weeks ago, I was saying that. Now, all of a sudden, it's becoming more mainstream. You know, I said it 3-4 weeks ago, and I was, how can you bring Rodgers back? But Belichick, a couple of weeks ago, said, something positive about Rodgers. This is before it came out that he was interested in the Jets.
Correct.
Which to me would indicate that that's the reason why Belichick would even call the Jets. It's not because he's clamoring for a head coaching job in the NFL and is begging everybody. Certainly not because he likes Woody. It's because he identified the Jets as a team with potential to win now, large in part because of their quarterback.
Well, I think that that Bill wasn't using the Jets as leverage is naive because your Falcons didn't want him a year ago.
Right.
And
But how so leveraged? Like, for what? I heard that before and I'm confused.
Okay, but just before I even tell you why the leverage, like, who else do you think was going to call Bill? For me, the answer is nobody.
Well, I would assume nobody.
Nobody. Okay, yeah. So does he really...
I mean, we had a list of maybe teams that might fit, but who the hell knows?
No, for sure, and I'm not pretending to know either. I'm just kind of reading the room, and based on the lack of action a year ago and the perceived lack of action now, he's been connected to nothing, and before you take the Carolina job, you do your due diligence, like reaching out to the Jets and the other openings that might be open or are open. So I believe that nobody wanted Belichick. And I don't necessarily, now I do think that if you had a coach without penalties and you buttoned a few things up, that this Jets team with just a small tweak or two could be a wild card team next year. I believe that with Aaron Rodgers. But I don't think that Belichick looks at the Jets and says, man, this is so appealing based on the roster. I think it's a combination of, all right, they're not terrible, and nobody else wants me.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know who wants him, who didn't. I'm going to assume that.
I don't think anybody wants him.
And again, I said he's unhireable from an NFL perspective based on certain things that I saw in that documentary and the way things went maybe at the end or just the toxic environment that he created during even the apex of the Patriots dynasty. But with the Jets, it's different. This is the one team that to me was a no doubt about it, home run hire, perfect fit. Also closed the chapter, a negative one as he resigns as HC, the NYJ. Like, put that to bed. Woody's showing, you know what? I'm going to do what you want. You want to establish head coach? There is none greater. He's the greatest head coach that ever lived.
Yep.
Now he's the guy with Aaron Rodgers. Go turn this thing into a playoff team in a year or two. And by the way, if it doesn't work, you fire him and you start over anyway. Like, what's the harm? Now you're going to have to blow it up, bring in a coach that maybe not as good as Belichick or doesn't have the resume of Belichick, maybe halfway it. Who knows with Rodgers? Like, to me, it would have been, hey, we believe in his plan with this roster. Let's have the guy that we really believe in, Belichick, turn this thing over.
What do you think got in the way of the Jets having this conversation with Belichick?
I honestly don't even know how legit. Like, it says somebody from Belichick's camp.
Well, no, then it was furthered and it said Belichick himself reached out. The initial report was, I think it was Diana Rossini.
That said.
And then Connor had that somebody in Belichick's camp reached out. And then I believe it was Costello shortly thereafter said, no, it was actually Belichick himself. So. And by the way, I'm going to answer my own question. Why do I think it didn't take another step forward? Woody's ego. And that's the problem. Yeah,
bingo. So you just
nailed it. That's the problem.
And that's why I could never believe in them regardless of who they hire here. The good guys aren't going to come here. And you actually had the greatest guy wanting to come here. If Bill Belichick could check his ego because he knows how he can't stand Woody Johnson ripping the Jets left and right. He checked his. That's not something Belichick wants to do. You think Bill Belichick, of all the teams, would want to come to the Jets?
Groveling back to the Jets?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, if nobody else is even calling you, I mean, you got to swallow your ego. I'm sure that's not his first choice, but then I even have the conversations criminal. It's absolutely laughable that this didn't even get to a meeting. It really is. It's embarrassing.
It shows you that, it's just not going to change for the Jets. I don't know how it could get much worse, but if it can, it will.
PT and Sal on the bench. Jeez, thanks.
More your clock. I don't want to see that.
I know you don't. Rodgers looked pretty good yesterday. We got to have that conversation. Honestly, he looked pretty good.
Yeah. But of course, the Jets getting a win and hurting their draft stock. Yeah. I want to get to that as well. 888. And we'll get to the Giants later on as well. 888-808-1019. PT and Sal on the fan. PT and Sal back on the fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. So, BT caught up in the Belichick stuff, obviously, over the course of the weekend. Jets did play a game yesterday. We referenced it. Rodgers looked good. Davante Adams turning back the clock. And you could tell that Rodgers, I felt good for him and Adams because they were having fun during that one.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, like, it's typical and predictable. The Jets win that game and cost themselves a pick. You're more into the tanking than I am. Where were you as far as the Jets winning that game yesterday? Did it bother you? Were you happy to see Rodgers and Adams? Where'd you sit on that?
I got to be honest with you. I enjoyed it. I did. And you know where I stand.
Yeah,
you just said it.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes down to a draft slot, I prefer to lose when I get to the stage of the season. But, you know, it's been so many empty Sundays and so many empty years, exceeding over a decade, that it's really stripping away the fun to the point where, like, I'm sitting there having a cup of coffee, and I don't drink coffee during the day. I'm having a cup of coffee just to stay awake to watch football, man. Like, and I did the pod after, yeah, right? The Unkillable pod. You guys could go check it out and see what it's all about. About 13, 14 episodes there so far, right? And I said, you know, most people, you'll be able to relate to this, most people who view what we do for a living, they don't incorporate the pressure, the cutthroat nature of the business.
The work.
Well, of course. The work, what it takes to get here, the sacrifice. Right. And it's a great job. I'm not looking for pity. But there are things that you and I deal with from a business perspective that can strip away the pureness of it over time.
I mean,
it's just the reality of it.
Truthfully, I miss some of that.
So do I. And, you know, even with that being said, it shouldn't be like absolute work to watch a football game. And that's what it seems like it's been for so long. So I think I just kind of suspended the reality of where they've been and where they are currently. And I enjoyed it. That 71-yard pass to Devontae Adams was absolutely gorgeous. It was fun.
Yeah, and that's kind of my point in general. Like, too many times now in today's day and age as sports fans, we aren't acting like true fans. I'm not talking about you and I. I'm talking about us in general, everybody. Whether we talk about, well, I don't want Soto because of the contract, or, oh, tank for this and that. Like, we're getting away from just enjoying being a fan, which to me is ridiculous on so many levels. That being said, it's typical Jets to win a game that you know is going to end up costing you. And like, it could have been great, and Rodgers looked great, and Adams has a big day, and also maybe you lose the game on a field goal to help you with the pick, because we've seen this happen before. I am not one to root for losses, although I will say with both the Jets and the Giants right now, they're clearly just, like, there's not even a reason. I could sell last year on why the Giants needed to win games down the stretch and why they wanted to be competitive. Right now, there is zero reason for the Giants to win, and even more less of a reason for the Jets to win. Seeing Rodgers play well, I think that maybe could mean something moving forward. Maybe. Who knows? But I don't think that there's a reason to win these games.
Yeah, I mean, listen, from a Giants perspective, I think that with Sanders, who's going to go first overall, all right, that's much more appealing than, and I like Cam Ward. Now I'm talking about from the Jets' perspective.
Yeah.
And really, if the Giants don't get one and they're thinking about Cam Ward too, I'd be lukewarm on that as well. Like, to me, Sanders is the clear, without any sort of real debate, first overall pick for me, in terms of quarterback for me. So, yes, it behooves the Giants, not that they're trying to lose, but they just think enough where they're going to always lose, because it puts them in a position this year, puts them in a position to have access to the quarterback that I think can change the fortunes of their franchise. Where, like, if the Jets would have lost yesterday, I still don't think they're going to do enough to get number one in terms of losses.
Right.
So, and getting Cam Ward to me is a big, big question mark anyway. So if it was different with the upper part of the first round pertaining to the quarterbacks, maybe I would have had a different reaction yesterday. Maybe not.
What'd you think? One thing that bothered me yesterday, what'd you think of Sauce's comments after the
Which
game?
Ones?
Talking about how this is up there, right up there with the draft, and making it like he made some big play.
With the interception?
Dude.
Listen, this is how far, I know. I'm surprised he didn't drop it, first of all. This is how far Soft Gardner has fallen as a rising defensive staple, star. I was in Green Bay when they beat Rodgers and the Packers, okay? A couple of years ago, they blocked a punt. It was an amazing day. Think about what happened after the game. Soft Gardner had the cheesehead stuff on.
Yeah.
And I think that made the Jets 7-4, if I have that right. It was obviously a very big win, and it really was putting them in a position to do some real damage. Of course, they didn't. That's where it was. And now you're going to talk about just picking off Mac Jones, who the defense couldn't even contain from leaving the pocket, who's as slow as dirt. And Gardner's going to get... I'm not trying to strip away the young man's enjoyment to win. I get it. When you always lose and you win, I want you to enjoy it. But the elevation, I did see that quote, and I'm like, man, this is how far it's fallen for not just him, but for them.
Yeah, just tone deaf. Like, you're right. You don't want to take away somebody's joy or excitement.
No.
But he made it like, oh, people are doubting me, and then to be able to go out there and make this big play. Like, dude, he basically threw the ball right to you. Mac Jones stinks. The Jaguars stink. You stink. Your team stinks. And you're talking like, oh, this is right up there with the draft. Like, Yeah, I mean, look, all right, they won a game. You want to be happy, I guess. Don't take the joy. I thought Sauce went a little much. A little over the top there.
Yeah, a little thick, laying it on.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Mike is in West Long Branch, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Mike 8.
Hey, what's going on, guys? About the Bill Belichick thing, I mean, he was never getting hired. I understand you wanted to bring him in the building and maybe pick his brain a little bit, but how were you expecting to hire a guy that has trashed the owner for 20 years and this year? I mean, it never was going to work. I mean, how could Woody trust him? I mean, I understand he's a great coach. He is a legacy, but without Tom Brady, I mean, I'm not trying to put him down, but he's not the same coach without Brady that he was with.
The Jets are an embarrassment of an organization. They can't get out of their own way. You have a chance. The greatest head coach of all time is calling you to talk to him. They should have not only talked to him, they should have hired him. And you think Woody Johnson's
going to... He's embarrassed Woody from when Woody was the owner. He left the team. He's trashed him for how long? That would have been more embarrassing.
But Mike, that's why
the guy who's completely pooped on your franchise for two decades.
That's why you use him, Mike. You use him to get some information, and then you throw him out with the trash if that's the way you want to look at it. But to not tap into a resource that's begging you, granted out of desperation, because I don't think anybody else in the NFL wants him, doesn't mean that you can't extract something from him. And smart people generally know that, you know. And it was. Oh, man, ego got in the way. I heard that. I was driving back from a basketball game, and I'm like, I can't start looking at my phone. I'm like, is this real?
I actually didn't believe it.
Is this real? And I called C-Mac. I'm like, I gotta get on the air now. And I just went nuts for about a good 3 minutes. I appreciate Chris letting me jump in. And it was never about...
Now you got to return the favor. When C-Mac hears something, he's like, on...
Phone's busy. Nah, I'm just kidding. See, I love Chris, you know. But midday's about that. Yeah, right. And I really couldn't believe it because, you know, when you heard the people who were in the middle of the reporting, I mean, Russini and Hughes and Costello, I mean, Russini more on the national scene, the other two incredibly reputable and trusting. Not always right, nobody is, but those guys are great. I'm like, this is real. And I'm not saying you offer them the job on the spot, but it's amazing to me that they wouldn't even have the sense to have a conversation. It's just embarrassing, dude.
Yeah, but think about this, too. Like, and I know it's different, maybe you're talking about business, but Jet fans rip the Jets, the owner, fire this, sell the team, this and that. And yet Woody's out there taking pictures with everybody and letting them in the stands. Mm. And so what? Woody's got to be above. Oh, no, this is where he draws the line. This guy's been making fun of me. He's coming to you. Hat in hand, Bill Belichick reached out to you, the Jets. At that point, you're going to be like, whoa, Bill Belichick actually wants to be here. He must see something that he thinks he could turn this around, or he's looking for an opportunity. You know what? The smart person would say, let me check my ego here and see what he has to say and maybe give him this opportunity with something to prove. I can't get a higher right if my life depended on it. Mm. You're going to thumb your nose at Bill Belichick? Oh, my God. The idiocy of that is just mind-boggling. The Jets will get everything that they deserve with actions like that. Like, they don't deserve to win when you do stupid things like that as an organization.
Well, now, listen, if you tell me that, and it just hasn't been, I don't think that this is the case because the Jets very rarely operate this way, but if you tell me they've got Vrabel on lockdown, okay, that's great. And if we learn of that, then I'll take back what I said about their lack of willingness to at least meet with Belichick. And by the way, if it's clearly an ego thing, because I understand on some level, just a human level, you know, somebody's just eviscerated me on the field for two decades and also taking little shots with the Manning brother, whatever you can get. Okay, I'm not saying I roll out the red carpet and I hire the man tomorrow, but what I do is maybe I neuter him up front. I say, all right, Bill, listen, you got no chance. You have no chance to be to be in charge of all the personnel. Do you want to coach the Jets? Do you want to coach this team? If you want to coach the Jets, we can have a conversation. You could join the list of the other 4, 5, 6 candidates we have our eye on. But there's not a chance in hell that you're getting authority on personnel matters. And if Bill Belichick would have had an issue with that, then there's the door.
Right.
But at least let him know the new rules here, and it's my team, and I'm in charge. If you want to come begging on your hands and knees to coach, hey, you're a great great coach. Well, listen, the other stuff, you didn't do a good job with that. Not interested.
Right, but think about what you're saying. That's from a perspective of Woody Johnson and Jets ownership and front office who couldn't get anything right to save their life.
But, so like, both things could be true.
They should have been on their hands and knees begging Belichick to come in their building.
No, I disagree with that. No. It provided the...
BT, they're a joke. Like,
nobody's disputing that. We all know that.
Then why wouldn't they get on their hands and knees and beg this guy to at least come in? Like, you can get on the Falcons for making a bad hire or not with Raheem Morris over Belichick.
Yeah.
They talked to him. They had him in. Like,
and why did they say no?
Apparently, they didn't like what they heard from Bill Belichick.
No, because
the Jets didn't even entertain it.
No.
You morons. How can you not entertain it? Like,
but why didn't the Falcons really, truly hire him? It's because he wanted full authority on all personnel matters. Now, there's multiple conversations.
Maybe he should have gotten it.
No, I don't think he's earned. That's where I'll back the Jets on this. He has not earned the right. He's not demonstrated the aptitude to build the roster. He's a great coach. He's a great motivator.
Well, who are they going to bring in that hat?
I don't know. But you have a cop. That's why at least this is my only premise. Yeah. Have the conversation. You know, the three or four guys, Robinson, whomever else you think might be a general manager candidate, you throw them by Belichick. Bill, could you work with this guy? No. All right. Well, then we have a problem. Bill, could you work with this guy? Maybe. Bill, how about this guy? All right. I'm open to it. And if he's not open to just being the coach, then get the hell out of my building. But have the conversation.
BT, it's Al. Yeah, Rodgers and Belichick have no more leverage.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As far as that goes, you want the job or not, but yeah, you gotta have him in. My God. BT and Sal back on the fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Talking Jets on this Monday morning. We'll get to the Giants coming up in a little bit. And plenty to do with the baseball hot stove as well, BT. Yesterday we had the football. Saturday night we had some fun out there on the island. We could get to that a little bit as well. But it was a fun weekend hanging out with you and Hoff.
No, it was phenomenal.
And getting to talk to some fans out there. It's all about Soto.
Heard you boys got in... a little later than expected, perhaps.
Yeah, we did. We'll get to it later. Got a little out of control, but it was fun. Brian is awesome. In. Back to the Belichick stuff. Brian is in Holbrook. What's up, Brian?
Hey guys, what's going on? Let me premise by saying you guys are definitely a force to be reckoned with. I love the fact that you guys have different teams that you root for, and you get different perspectives. So I love it.
Thank you. We appreciate that very much, thanks, Brian. Buddy.
Real quick, now I want to give my perspective when it comes to Belichick. I think Belichick was the one with the ego. Now, when I say that, I mean he was so desperate to try to beat Don Shula's record that he was the one who actually called the Jets and said, do you guys need some help? Or however the conversation went.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my perspective. I think he's the one with the ego.
Fair enough.
I mean, literally.
But Brian, he's ripped the Jets every which way possible. Like, at some point you'd think, hey, even if he wants to be the winningest NFL head coach of all time, he's going to get called the Jets. Like, we all thought there's no way in hell he would ever want the Jets. Not the other way around.
Well, that's my point. That he got so desperate, his ego was so big that he wanted that record so bad that he would grasp at any straw, at any straw possible.
Yeah.
So I mean, in my eyes, he's the one who was desperate. I don't blame Woody. I really don't. I think he made the right decision. We would have been not the laughing stock right now. 16 years, no playoffs, no nothing, in all sports. But we would have been like. We would have been the wicked redheaded stepchild.
Well, I mean, listen, bro, I got you. I do understand that. I'm not saying you give him carte blanche and you hire him. All I'm saying is have the conversation. Think about the road the Jets have been down all these years. Hey, Charlie Casserly, you know, they're probably not connected to the league the way it used to be, but what do you think? Who do you think we should hire, Charlie? Hey, Peyton. What do you think about Adam Gase? Can you give him? Can you give us your stamp of approval for him? Sure, hire him. So let me get this straight. The Jets listen to everybody around the league outside of their building, but Bill Belichick? I don't mean, again, not right. Acquiesce, you know, not just hand him the reins. Have a conversation. That's all I'm saying.
Do you think that if the Jets fired Robert Saleh before the season, like we all said he should, or they should, and hired Bill Belichick, the Jets would have been a postseason team this year?
I don't know. I mean, they would have been much better. Yeah. And I'll give you a specific example. You know, the Jets won the game yesterday. But, you know, listen, you can talk about the blown leads or the fact that they were before yesterday outscored 33-9 in the final 2 minutes in overtime of games, which obviously speaks to the presence of a real coach. You probably don't cough up all those leads here. But think about the Jets' first defensive possession. And you can pick any game, myriad moments within any game where something like this happens, all right? First defensive possession. I know you don't care about the game, but this is symbolic of what's destroyed the Jets' season. 15-yard penalty on Reddick. And then Sauce with the ridiculous holding in the end zone. Sloppy technique, lazy, clear penalty. Negates a third down sack, which the Jets got. So, again, if this was a game that mattered, right, instead of giving up or having the Jaguars go for a field goal at that point, it'd get automatic first down. What happens the next play? Guess, touchdown, Jaguars. Now, the Jets overcame that because the Jaguars are horrendous, but that is just a microcosm of how sloppy they are. And yes, to answer right. you probably Those a little bit things. More directly, if Belichick's there, you're not first in defensive penalties. You know, yes, it's right. you're certainly still playing for something.
All those now. Things, those little things that get overlooked by a lot of people, all those things would be erased by Belichick. You want to say, well, Brady was the main part of it. No. Fundamentally sound football and minimizing the penalties, minimizing beating yourself, making the right decisions, playing the game out, he would have cleaned up all of that. All of it. So, yeah, I firmly believe that if Belichick, and we said that they should have done this to start the year before a game was ever even played. If they would have hired Bill Belichick, they ended up firing Saleh anyway, 5 weeks in, which is ridiculous. And that was a mistake. Even that they screwed up. Like, if you're going to stick with them, stick with them. They fire him, they get worse. They don't know. I don't know who's making decisions. Woody, his children, either way, they keep screwing everything up. They should have fired Saleh, hired Belichick. They would have been a postseason team. And now that he comes to them and they had a chance to maybe do it a third time, three times a charm, I would have liked to have seen what could happen with this roster, with Rodgers in place, not coming a year off of injury. Remember, you know, starting to get further removed from that injury that took him out last year, the Achilles, whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe next year's a little fresher. You know, mobile yesterday.
Even in Miami, he was moving it a little bit.
Yeah. And by the way, it's not just about running, but about being mobile. Like, Joe Burrow's not a running quarterback, but his presence in the pocket, his escapability, it's second to none.
Extend the play. Extend the play a little
bingo,
bit.
Bingo, you nailed
Step
it.
Step up, move laterally.
If Rodgers can do that.
Which he suddenly can.
Yeah, so I would love to have seen a real coach, and to me, there is no better real coach than Bill Belichick with Rodgers here. with this group. Brian is in Ridgewood, New Jersey. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. I originally called in to talk about how bad the defense was yesterday, and I wanted to throw up in my mouth when Ulbrich basically gets up there and is waxing poetic in the postgame about how well the team played. You played a team that scored, I don't remember if it was 6 or 9 points the last week against I think it was Tennessee. But, I mean, you let up 25 points. They took an 11-minute drive against you. It was painful and painful and painful to watch and listen to him say that after the game about how well they played. You played a terrible team, and you made it out by the skin of your teeth. But, you know, I'm more taken in by your guys' conversation of how bad this ownership is, how bad this team is, and how we're just destined for failure. And, you know,
I don't say destined for failure. I don't believe in destined for failure. I don't believe in that myself.
Well, I think we are, so long as Woody owns the team.
I know why you're not saying that.
What man calls himself Woody?
I get why you want to have that mentality as a fan. Unfortunately, it's out of your control. Like,
sure.
To me, all their actions, all the stuff that's going on in that dysfunctional, to say the least, front office, doesn't mean by accident you can't have a successful year or two, although it hasn't happened two decades. But they've had some success almost by accident. They may have that again one day, but I don't think it's coming anytime soon, and they'll never have the sustained success that you want as long as Woody's running things the same way that he's running things.
Well, that's why I'm more Team Vrabel than anybody else. I mean, certainly as we get into the Belichick conversation here, the news over the weekend that Bill reached out to the Jets himself, like, I'm not saying that Bill couldn't piece it together for a year, but in terms of sustained ability and like a little slight uptick in the roster, maybe another run stuff or maybe one more old lineman, sure. I think Belichick would come in here, they'd win, you know, 9 games, depending upon the schedule, maybe 10 with some luck here and just being a little bit more buttoned up. But yeah, I'm like the Mets, like you guys with the Mets. I'm craving sustained success. I'm because even Todd Bowles had the 1 year where they won 10 games, and Fitzpatrick went bonkers, and Decker went bonkers, and Brandon Marshall went bonkers. They go up to Buffalo last week. They win. They're in. They lose. They're out. They get absolutely drilled. They get their face kicked in. They haven't seen been in a playoff race since. So to me, I think Vrabel's the guy. He's the age, he's the mindset, he's the temperament, he's the physical, what he exudes and what he projects. I'm all in on Vrabel, but I get why you're intrigued with Belichick. I'm just saying, just have the freaking conversation. See what he thinks about your roster, if nothing else.
Okay, remember when the Mets, we'll have this conversation quickly and then take a break, get back to the calls on the other side, working the Giants as well. But remember when the Mets finally hired Buck Showalter? Mm-hmm. Like, prior to that, it was failure. After TC
Callaway
left, oh my God, Luis Rojas, they, you know, like, just disaster, trying to hire Belcher, whatever, like, all those failures. They needed...
Those are the good old days from my perspective,
exactly.
By the way.
They needed a known commodity.
Uh-huh.
They hired Buck Showalter. Instant credibility within the organization. They had instant success that year. Now, it wasn't just Buck, but kind of built that foundation. Okay, took a step back in his second year, but that laid the groundwork to then bring in Mendy. And I know it's not just apples to apples here, but that's kind of where I think the Jets are at, where they need their Buck Showalter. That's Bill Belichick. So even for a year or two, let's say they made the playoffs, next year's a disaster. Okay, you blow it up and start over.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it shows you a path to success, building a little bit of some of the blocks in place.
I get what you're saying. I do, and it's a loose translation, but I remember Buck's first year, which was really good.
Yeah.
The thing that we were lauding them for, and I know I've referenced this, I don't know if it was down in D.C. or Philly, I think it was D.C., you know, Marte was backing up a ball that somehow made the outfield, and there was a play at third base, and it was a double cut, and it was just a real illumination of baseball fundamentals, which had deserted the Mets for years. And they caught the ball, they had some infield hits, they had some sack flies, they did the little things because they probably overachieved that first year with Buck. And then they, of course, they fell apart a little bit the next year and Buck was gone. But the point is a double cut or backing up a base the same as eliminating a few dumb penalties in the NFL? Sure, I think that's the loose equivalent. So I get it when you say that somebody like Belichick would clean things up enough to the point to be either a playoff team or in the race. I prefer, you know, a 7, 8, 9, 10-year run of really being more viable for a championship, and I think Vrabel presents that. But I hear what you're saying.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls when we come back. We'll work in the Giants as well. 888-808-1019.